All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true!
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge night for the Scotland national team. Steve Clark's side can still finish second with a win in Poland, but need the Croatia result to go our way as well. Building on the positivity from Friday night, will Ben Doakes start again? That seems to be the big debate. And on the club front, all sort of rumour and speculation that maybe, just maybe, Belgium could be after Philippe Clement as a potential new manager. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Brian Graham and Roger Hannah.
Yeah, Monday night, Gordon, as you say, it's a huge night. I think we got away with one on Friday night when they had the sort of B team in, but tonight it's crucial. The big hitters are back. I'm not talking about Scotland, I'm talking about you coming in for Ewan Cameron.
Well, listen, I couldn't possibly comment. I heard it went fine. The studio is still here. Yeah. It hasn't been burned down. Yeah. So we move on. And honestly, I've always said about the positive impact of this show. I said to you last Friday, you want to come on the show on Monday and you go and score and get a good win at the weekend.
I just need to keep coming on every week, Gordon. That's it. That's the way it's forward. But as Roger's mentioned, that's a huge night for Scotland. Ben Doak was obviously the positivity for Friday night. I thought the wee man was brilliant. And it's about time we start giving young players a chance. I think we've took long enough to get Ryan Gold into the setup. I think every time he's come on the pitch for Scotland, he's done well. So it's another night to look forward to.
Come on then, 01419511025. I suppose in one way it's the first chance we've had to actually look back on Friday and ask what you thought of it. So you could do that. But at the same time, we are of course building up to tonight. And until such time as the team is revealed, then that's where you come in. What would you like to see? What changes would you like to make? Will Ben Doakes stay in the team? If you were basing it purely on the performance the other night, I think the answer is a resounding yes. But we'll hear some clips from Steve Clark very soon where he's suggesting maybe two games in a row might be too much for him and all that sort of stuff. So what do you think? How important is it Ben Doakes starts? Or maybe you are the one person out there that would be comfortable with him playing a supporting role from the bench. I don't mind hearing the alternative view. Give us a call either way. Any other changes you would make? Would you maybe swap out Tommy Conway for someone? Does John McGinn come back into the starting 11? We don't have many games where he doesn't start when he's fit and available. Came off the bench and got the winner the other night. Does the back four stay the same? Are you mixing something up? You tell us. That's why we're here. 0141 951 1025. Maybe since we've got Partick Thistle's own Brian Graham here, maybe you were out at the championship games at the weekend and you want to have your say on those. You can do some big results. Falkirk League leaders losing against Livingston. Brian's Partick Thistle side flying at the weekend as well. So again, same number. And I must admit, you know, you just see things during the day and you think that's got Super Scoreboard written all over it. When I saw Philippe Clement linked with the Belgium job, no idea if it's true, Roger Hannah, mm-hmm. but when I saw it, That's got Super Scoreboard written all over it.
Without doubt, there will be Rangers fans phoning tonight, Gordon, to say, no, we don't want him to go. And there'll be others raving up the car, ready to drive him to the airport. That's just how it works in these parts.
You think there'll be many saying, please don't go?
I don't know.
You just said that there would be.
Well, phone out.
Okay. I'd be very surprised.
Maybe a few months ago, I feel like we were heading in a certain direction.
I'm not
sure.
I think the link's come because his mate's got the job at the top of the Belgian FA. Domenico Tedesco is still in there. I think there's quite a weighty payoff to get rid of him. I think only 1-1-6 for the national team. They lost to Israel at the weekend. Not going great. Be interesting to see how it all pans out.
Well, if you've got thoughts there, and I'm almost certain you will, no matter what team you support, actually, is that something you can see happening? Can you realistically see links between the Belgium national team and Philippe Clement materialising at this point? Give us a call there. I'm pretty sure we'll get stuck into a nice debate on the Scotland team as well. Should Ben Doakes start or do you expect him to be rested? Give us a call. Now, usually on a Monday, I put you all on the spot and we go result of the weekend, goal of the weekend, all that sort of stuff. No Premiership card, so I won't be as formal about it. But what caught your eye? Who should we be giving a quick mention to?
Well, you've already done it. Mr. Graham, he had a couple of goals for Thistle, 5-1 against the Accies.
So is he the is he arguably the performer of the weekend? And we've got him in this very studio.
It was my teammate Scott Robinson was the performer of the week. He scored two as well. I thought the wee man was absolutely outstanding.
He says he only scored two because you were moaning at him.
No, that's not how it works. Probably I was moaning at him to get in the right position, and he got in the right position. So I'll take a wee bit of credit for that as well. But
so what is it? 6-6 you've scored now?
I'm not even sure. I just know it's 10 for the season. I count the collective and I don't look week to week. So 10 and 19, it's not bad for an old boy.
I thought that was him meant to be slowing down as well.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Well,
result of the weekend goes Livy, surely.
Well, I think so. Yeah. Judging by the face on producer John, the Falkirk fan, when we come in tonight and the moaning he's done in the short period of time Brian and I have been in the building. Yes, Teddy Yenge and Livingston, result of the weekend, a notable mention. Ferreira back on the horse after that East Kilbride defeat.
Teddy Yenge might even have got goal of the weekend.
Fantastic goal.
Unless you could top that.
No, I've not seen any better, if I'm being really honest. I think it was a fantastic solo goal right in the top corner. I'll give it to the big man.
Yeah, can't grumble.
You were there yesterday. What about Chelsea Cornet? Not a bad goal.
12 weeks out injured as well. Straight back on. Winner in a 5-goal thriller Old Firm game, SWPL.
I'm looking at the goalie. I think the goalie should do better.
Well, I have seen that suggestion, to be fair. So, well, we can debate it as the show goes on. Give us a call, no matter what it is that's on your mind tonight. Maybe you do want to look back on the weekend's action. I'd imagine most of you got Scotland on your mind. What did you make of Friday? How important was it to get that win? What about tonight? Can it be done? Can the what would have been the unthinkable a few games ago happen? Can Scotland still clinch second place? And what would your team be? Would you rest Ben Doak? Or is it imperative that he starts given his positive performance the other night? Roger Hanna is going to explain the permutations to you as to what Scotland need to do tonight.
If we lose, we're relegated. Mm-hmm. If we draw, we're relegated. If we win, we finish at least third. Third would give us a playoff against a second place team from League B. And if we win and Croatia lose and there's a 3-goal swing, we're second in the group and we'd have a playoff in March against Spain, France, Germany and Holland, and we're about halfway to winning the Nations League, I think, Gordon.
No, thank you. Obviously, we want Scotland to win tonight. You want everything else to go your way, but when you put us in that category against the boys, I'm only really looking forward to it.
I know, but then it's the World Cup pot seeding as well.
That would also get us a top seed in the World Cup draw.
Right, okay, 01419511025. Come on down then, pick your team for tonight. Get your predictions in. Would you start Ben Doak again? Would you understand if he was left out? I'm detecting, based on social media, that most of you wouldn't understand. So if that is the case, then give us a shout. Or maybe you would be a bit more sympathetic to that idea. But the Scotland manager spoke about it, the on-loan Middlesbrough winger, after his man of the match display against Croatia.
Listen, he's obviously feeling good about himself, but he's in among good people. We'll keep his feet on the ground. And like I said before about Ben, he's a big talent for now and a big talent for the future, hopefully for the country. A lot of people see the good things that he does. Me and my coaching staff, being a little bit more analytical, I'll see other things that he doesn't do quite so well because he's only a young player and he's looking to learn. A lot to work on over the years, but at the moment we can all be, or you guys can all be excited a little bit about what he does with the ball. There's plenty of time for him to develop and it's important, and it's probably boring, but it's important not to put too much pressure on the boy. As I sit here now, we haven't named the team because you've got to, all the boys who finished the game the other night, you have to look and make sure that they wake up fit, fresh and ready to go. So that's something else you can think about.
Do you think Ben Doak will start? And what will the reaction be if he doesn't?
My colleague Robert Greaves summed it up perfectly in the Scottish Sun this morning. If Ben Doak isn't picked, that's not a team sheet from Steve Clarke. It's a resignation letter. There is no way.
What if they win without him?
I think there's a far better chance of them winning with him. He was the best player in the park on Friday night. And I can't see how in any team, any selection, if you have a man of the match performance for any team in a win on a Friday night, why on earth would you be left out on a Monday night?
No, exactly. It doesn't matter what age you are. And it's Friday to Monday. The wee man will be on a high. Yeah. He's played against Man City's player, Guardiola, one of the best defenders in the world at the moment. I think it was €90 million, I think he got bought for. And he turned him inside out. He terrorised him. So for me, he's a shoo-in to start tonight. But obviously, I get where Steve Clarke's coming from. He's obviously speaking like that in the press to probably try and protect him a little bit, to try and get the hype turned down a wee bit, because everybody was excited for him being in the Euro squad. And then he goes out for injury. So I'll be excited to see him tonight. it'll be a totally different game playing away from home than it is playing at Hampden. But exactly what you said, Roger, he'd be on my team all day long.
Yeah. Come on then, what do you think? Would you start Ben Doak tonight, or would you be more understanding if Steve Clarke decided to go in a different direction? Give us your thoughts right now on 01419511025. I suppose there are a couple of ways of looking at this. The bit that we won't see, Ben Doak might genuinely be physically not up to starting tonight. Just might be. I'm not saying he is. I've got nothing to suggest that. But if that was the case, that's maybe a different argument. The bit that Steve Clarke seems to be talking about, Roger, is that bit in there, you know, sort of that managers do this sometimes. You fans might not see the stuff we see. And there's some bits of his game that he maybe doesn't do quite as well. What did you make of that?
We'd won 1-1 in 16, and that was against Gibraltar, prior to Ben Doak's man of the match performance on Friday night. He's 19 years of age, just turned last Monday. Not only should he be able to play two games in 4 days, he should be able to play two games in the same day. This man to my left is in the week of his 37th birthday. But you'd happily play for Scotland a Friday night and a Monday night, yeah?
Of course I would. I was never lucky enough to do it. I wasn't good enough. But listen, as you said, when young boys are playing, when you're playing 15, 16, go back to my days, your school days, you played a Saturday morning, you played a Saturday afternoon, and then you go and play on the Sunday. So I don't. The biggest problem now in football is sports science coming into it. They've got too much ESA in it, and it's too much about data this, data that, player loads. What's that nonsense for me? If a player's feeling confident and they're feeling good within themselves, they should be able to play. But now you get to training days, now they're standing with iPads and laptops, oh, he's doing too much in training, get him out, we need him for the weekend. But what a load of nonsense. Go and train properly, and it takes into a game.
Mm. Josh is on the line. Would you start Ben Doak again, Josh? Is there any reason not to?
Yeah, 100%, boys. I think Ben Doak's exciting. He's dynamic. He's fearless. And he has that good naivety about him as well. You know, whoever he's coming up against, he doesn't see the price tag, doesn't see their experience. He just sees it as like another defender to get at. We've sort of been lacking that in the games to get over the line. And I think now with Ben, we have that exciting talent, don't we, to get us through games like that.
Yeah, what did you make of it? Because it's the first time, is it the first time I've seen him in the flesh? Maybe for a while. Anyway, I was there at Hampden on Friday. And I think naturally the game becomes a bit easier in the second half because, well, we've got a numerical advantage. It does need to be the right type of game for him at the moment, though, doesn't it? I know there was the one brilliant one in the first half where he spun in behind and flicked it through his legs. But by and large, there was a huge difference between first half and second half. Is there any sort of tactical reason that you can see that maybe going away from home it just won't pan out the same? Or in fact, is it the opposite? In fact, you know, going away from home, maybe even more reason to use him on the break and stuff like
that. Well, it would certainly be a great outlet. You know, if Poland probably have a lot of the ball tonight, but Croatia had a lot of the ball, remember, on Friday night. I think he'll be a good outlet to get us up the park. This isn't a game, Gordon, where, you know, sometimes in a competitive game away from home in Poland, you would think, right, listen, boys, let's sit in, we'll try and get a 0-0, or we'll maybe try and nick one and get a 1-1 or something like that. This is a game we need to win. There's no doubt about it. A draw doesn't do us tonight. We need to win the game. Therefore, we need to have some method of winning the game. And including Ben Doak in the team is as good a method as you're going to get. And if Steve Clarke's worried about the things that Ben Doak can't do going in the opposite direction, then adjust the team to cover for any deficiencies you see in Ben Doak's play, because he's going to be the best opportunity to create or score the goal that we need to win the game.
We kind of knew this would happen, Brian, even, you know, particularly with him. It's not necessarily about is he better than this player or better than that player, but he's just so undeniably different, isn't he? Like, we don't have anyone in the squad that can even come close to doing what he does.
He loves dribbling with the ball. I'll go back to when I was James McFadden. He's similar to him. McFadden never had the pace as Ben Doak, but he had that excitement. Fans were up. As soon as he got the ball, the fans were up and they were on waiting something happened. Ben Doak's got that X factor like McFadden had for Scotland. So, and I know he's got a long way to go to his career before he gets to James McFadden level, but he's that similar type to me where as soon as he gets the ball, everybody's on the edge of their seat going, right, do something, wee man, just go and do it. And I think for me, if Steve Clarke's talking about he's got stuff to learn, well, if he's struggling to track back, make sure there's a midfielder coming over to cover, make sure the right back's on alert to pull one of the midfielders across if wee man's not going to get back and track back. But once we're going forward, an outlet, as Roger says, getting up high up the pitch, giving the ball, go and let him dribble, go and let him get at people, go and get shots at shots at goal going across into the box, then it gives our strikers and our other forward players a chance to go and score goals.
Take it even, you know, take it to the level you play at. You've got, quite often, Logan Chalmers on one side, Aidan Fitzpatrick on the other side. The best will in the world, they don't always charge back at the pace you would like them to. That's why you've got Bannigan and why you've, you know, guys like that in the team to cover. Scotland, they've got Billy Gilmour, who plays for Napoli, and Kenny McLean, who's about to win a 50th cap shortly. They're two players capable of coming over and covering between Doak and Ralston.
Of course, they can cover the ground. They're very fit individual players and who are experienced. I know Gilmour's still young, but he's played a lot of football. Yeah. So they're experienced. They'll know, they'll see the game in front of them. They'll realise when a wee man's not going to get back in, oh, I need to go and cover him here. So it's, for me, he has to play, and it's simple as that.
I mean, Josh, that sort of fearlessness, is that something that you think Scotland obviously need tonight, given that, you know, it simply has to be a win?
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, I've also got it, like, the clean sheets have been the bedrock to obtain these positive results. And we'd all have taken this scenario of beating Poland and securing at least the playoff place. And all there's got to be the 3-goal swing, as at the Gordon, to get in that top two. But I mean, at the start of the campaign, the confidence was low. The morale was low as well because of what had happened at the Euros. High expectation had crumbled. So I think the lads have done a perfect job in terms of stabilising it as best they can. You know, we're now seeing the positive results to marry up with the consistent performance levels across this Nations League. So with the likes of Ben giving us the threat on the counter-attack, and as you say, a must-win game, it's completely necessary to sort of either throw him in from the start or use him as that impact substitute in the last half an hour. He's also got that option, hasn't he? If he wants to keep it tight for an hour, play the extra midfielder and then look to open it up. So he's definitely got these options, Stevie, hasn't he?
Is there any possibility that could be something that would be an option?
I think if it was game two, then maybe, but it's not. It's a must win tonight. It's the last game of the campaign, so as I said, if it was game two, then yes, I would probably maybe give him the last half an hour to go and try and keep it tight, maybe 1-1-0. But it's not. It's a must win. You need to go after Poland right from the get go. It doesn't matter you're away from home. You need to go there and try and win the game. So our best option right now with winning is with Ben Doak in the team.
I think the thing, Roger, that sometimes just sticks in your head, forget Ben Doak and Steve Clarke in Scotland for a minute, you look across every international break, every doubleheader, every other country, there are loads of examples that guys just don't play both games for a multitude of reasons. I wonder who would fall into that category.
Yeah, there are always Scottish players who won't play both games. Steve Clarke more or less said that yesterday. It wouldn't surprise me if Tommy Conway was rotated out the team again and maybe a Dykes or a Shanklin start the game. I think John McGinn will probably start, having made such an impact. Somebody was saying at the weekend, if Clarke's 62 games, there's only three that McGinn hasn't started when he's been fit to play. So I think McGinn will probably come back into the team. So there will be changes, but I can't see any rationale for not starting Doak. And people complain, oh, you know, defensively, blah. Defensively, we've just drawn 0-0 with Poland and beaten Croatia 1-0. With
Portugal.
Sorry, 0-0 with Portugal and beaten Croatia 1-0. Two clean sheets with Ben Doak starting. So he must do something right going backwards.
So you're both pretty clear that you want him to. You think he will? You think he'll play or not?
I think he'll play.
I think
Steve Clarke was being Steve Clarke yesterday.
Well, you heard the manager. What do you think? Are you as confident as these two? Give us all your thoughts on the game tonight. 01419511025. We'll speak to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Partick Thistle's Brian Graham and Roger Hanna are here. That made it sound like you're Partick Thistle's Roger Hanna as well, didn't it?
Yeah.
A wee bit, like I should have paused a bit more. Partick Thistle's Brian Graham and Roger Hanna are here, taking your calls on 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB as we build up to kick off in Poland, a big night for Scotland. You're more than welcome to talk club football if you would rather, though. So give us a call, just like John has. How are you, John?
Hi there, Gordon. Hi, Roger and Brian.
Hi, John.
I was just talking to Ross, your producer there. But I was going with the team that I was going with. As Roger said at the top of the show, Ben Doak, it's a no-brainer. I think Brian said you could play two games in a day if you're fit enough and good enough. And the boy is good enough. But I would change it, and I'm changing it with four players.
Okay.
I would drop Hanley and bring my McKenna in. I'd bring Ryan Gold and Lyndon Dykes and John McGinnon.
Okay.
And Trapp, Gilmer. Who's in the middle of the park? It was Gilmer and McLean.
And McTominay, yeah.
And take... No, no, McTominay stays there.
Okay.
So you're bringing Dykes in for Conway.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Poland have got quite a few injuries out. There are quite a few injured. So let's go for it. As Roger was saying, I was trying to explain to my pals a three-goal swing.
Yep.
It's not impossible. Scotland have only lost an odd goal in every game in their section. They were very unlucky against Portugal at Hampden. No, so I don't know what you think, guys, especially Brian being an ex-player.
No, for me, it's the big one, typical, I think Scotland could win tonight. I also think Croatia could win because I don't know what sort of team Portugal are going to put out. So they're obviously through. They can rest a few bodies and probably give a few players a few caps. So that's a big one for me, Croatia.
Who would have thought that our hopes are hinging on Fabio Silva? Remember him, Rangers fans? He's been called up. Portugal have sent Ronaldo and Fernandes and Silva and all the rest of them up the road. Fabio Silva's the man. I always knew there was a player in there, Brian. He's the man for us.
Fingers crossed he turns up, because he didn't have a date in Scotland, that's for sure. But he thought it was too easy up here and he got found out, but so did Cantwell.
What did you make of the suggestions John makes? I don't think none of you would be amazed, would you, to see Tommy Conway drop out for Lyndon Dykes?
No, don't think so. No.
We're all in agreement there. Yeah. Don't think anyone would be amazed to see John McGinn come back in.
I just don't think it'll be Gilmore.
I was going to say,
though.
That was the bit.
Maybe Ryan Christie.
Potentially.
Can you really see it, John? I mean, Billy Gilmore tends to be one of the kind of main men at the moment, does he not?
Sorry?
I'm saying your suggestion about Billy Gilmore, I'm wondering if you can... Let's talk about that a bit more, because the guys don't... You really see him coming out?
Listen, I just thought... He's played a lot of football, Gordon, and he could have put young Doke in a couple of times, but he ballooned a couple over the bar. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but you're needing a wee bit of digging there. John McGinn, he's just come back off an injury.
He was previously, and he's actually been in and out the Aston Villa team as well, Roger, hasn't he?
Exactly.
I don't think there's any doubt he'll come back in. I think
he'll come back in. He's a top scorer on the squad. He's got 19 goals. There's only four people in the history of Scottish football have scored more goals for Scotland than John McGinn. He has been a talisman for Steve Clark. I would be astonished if McGinn didn't start.
It just feels like now that Callum McGregor's not there, though, Billy Gilmore's really sort of key to keeping the ball.
His ball retention's brilliant. He finds spaces where there's no spaces, and the Scotland players trust him. I thought we struggled to get him involved in the game first half the other night when the two centre-halves had the ball. They were looking. But you've got to give Croatia praise in that point, because they got their press correct, and the two centre-halves struggled. They kept having to go back to Gordon and playing it sideways to each other. But obviously when they get a man sent off, the game, the dynamics of the game change, because they can't press the way they'd obviously planned to press, and then Scotland get a wee bit more joy. But for me, I think Gilmore would be in there. McGinn would come back in 100%. I would probably keep McLean on the team as well, because you're away from home. So probably Christie would come out for me.
Is Kenny McLean now just obviously becoming a victim of the fact that he's not playing at the glamorous level that some of the others are? This is not a slight on John, because John's at least been pretty measured about it. But still, the other night, you see stuff on social media, you know, about dropping Kenny McLean and bringing this guy in. What has Kenny McLean done wrong in a Scotland shirt over the last few games?
He's actually the one who's benefited from Callum McGregor's international retirement, because he started every game since Callum retired. He's pushing very close to 50 caps. Steve Clark has always included him in squads. He used to be the first substitute he turned to in many of the games, the qualifying games when we went to 2 Euros. He was involved in Belgrade back in the day, if you remember. He scored some big goals. I think he scored the penalty against Israel that took us to Belgrade. His involvement at the end of the win against Norway in Oslo 18 months ago was terrific. So, listen, he's maybe not the most fashionable name in the squad, but I think Steve Clark relies on what he brings in that deep line central midfield role.
You can see he trusts him, that's for sure. Definitely. And obviously, he's no playing in the Premier League, and McGinn is, and McGinn's in the Champions League, but the two of them come through together at St Mirren. The two of them know each other inside out, good friends, and it doesn't matter where you're playing. If you're a good player and you keep getting selected for squads and you keep getting used in the squad, then for me, I don't think he really done anything wrong the other night, so I would be in my team.
The big debate, John, is that Ben Doak one. You said it's a no-brainer. Can you see any world in which Steve Clarke leaves him out tonight?
He's, as I said to Ross, these boys are the future. I mean, we've got some good boys coming through. I think that boy has just been promoted to goalkeeper, the boy Slugger.
Mm-hmm.
He's meant to be not a bad goalkeeper. I think he plays down south, Roger.
He plays for Ipswich. Well, he's at Ipswich.
Yeah, yeah,
number three, I think, at Ipswich, yeah. Is he? But he's in the squad mostly for his under 21 appearances, and we're not blessed with goalkeeping options at the moment. We do have the starting 11, John. You might as well just hang on the line since you gave us your suggestions.
Cheers.
If you want the headline first, will we just go straight in? No suspense. Ben Doak is in the team. He starts again. Listen to that, hear that? Is that the nation breathing a sigh of relief? I could just imagine these phone lines lighting up if he wasn't. Ben Doak does start. He keeps his place in the team. The only changes are Lyndon Dykes comes in for Tommy Conway and John McGinn comes in for Ryan Christie. So it's Craig Gordon in goal, the only man it feels like playing professional football in Scotland that's older than Brian. The back four stays the same as the one that started the game. So Anthony Ralston and Andy Robertson at fullback. Grant Hanley does stay in. I know people thought maybe Scott McKenna, who came on at half time. Grant Hanley and John Souter, the centre backs. It is Billy Gilmore and Kenny McLean, the deeper lying midfielders. Scott McTominay in front of them. John McGinn on one side, Ben Doak on the other, and Lyndon Dykes leading the line. A quick look at the subs, because sometimes people maybe drop out injured or anything.
I think it's Jack Hendry for Ryan Porteous.
Yeah, so that's the only sort of change there. Everyone else kind of fit and available, if you like. Conway there, Ryan Gold there, Shankland, Christie, and so on. So you were nearly there, John. You got a few of them right. You happy enough?
Yes. Listen, he's were talking about Kenny McLean, Gordon. You, especially yourself, I'm not saying the boy's a bad player. And I heard Brian say, did he come through the ranks with John McGinn?
Yes, it's in Mon, yes.
And it's, I think, one of the best games I've ever seen Kenny McLean. I think the boys will, you'll agree with me, was a comeback against Norway.
Oh,
outstanding.
Yeah.
Outstanding. That was to take us to the Euros. Roger?
Played a big part, didn't it? It didn't clinch anything, but it was absolutely, arguably, the night that probably did seal it in some people's minds. It just feels like, Roger, We get this a lot when it gets to international football. You've got the choice, I suppose, to judge the players on paper and where they are at their club, whether that's what level they play at, what level of form that they're in at that moment in time, or just look at what they did. And you know, we hear this come around. Like, I can see some tweets already. Oh, why is Nicky Devlin not starting again? I wouldn't have been against it. But Anthony Ralston did pretty well the other night as well.
They're not starting because that back four that started. It's going to start tonight. Started with a clean sheet against Croatia. Started in a clean sheet against Portugal. Cristiano Ronaldo storming out of Hampden in a huff because of it. So you look at them. Anthony Ralston rarely starts for Celtic. Grant Hanley rarely starts for Norwich City in the second tier in England. John Souter has his detractors up here sometimes in some performances from Rangers this season. But together, they've managed to keep a couple of clean sheets against two of the better teams in Europe, and that's why Steve Clarke's sticking with them tonight.
Okay, here's your give me your theories. The whole Ben Doak might not start thing from Stevie Clarke. Mind games, or something that he genuinely was going to do and has decided against it, or maybe even a third option, something that he was going to do, saw the backlash, and was swayed back the other way.
Well, no, I think you can rule out option three. I think, as I said earlier, it's Steve Clarke being Steve Clarke.
Just mind games. He was always going to start him.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah, especially after he played the other night. The wee guy was electric at times, so he was always going to play. And I agree with Roger. It was Steve Clarke being Steve Clarke.
Well, there we go. You give us your reaction. You've got the team news now. Then Scotland fans, is that the right choice? Would you have done something different? Would you have maybe mixed it up at the back, changed the back four? John McGinn comes in. Is that the right swap with Ryan Christie going out? Is Lyndon Dykes the man to lead the line, or would you have gone Lauren Shankland? Would you have stuck with Tommy Conway? Anything else you want to grumble about? I'm still waiting on that one person out there. There's usually some contrarian who says Ben Doak should have started in the bench. I think we'd really be hard pushed to find them tonight, but I won't give up. So 01419511025. Let's hear a bit more from Steve Clark on the challenge of Poland whilst you get your calls in.
Yeah, there's a good, obviously a good spirit. Now we look to build on that one. We had a little debrief on the, and I pointed out the fact that Croatia's best moments, best attacking moments came from our slack play. If we can eliminate that, we can certainly be a threat going the other way. When we set out in September into this group of games, or this run of games, the idea was to be in contention for something come the last two games, and we've got a realistic chance of staying at the top flight. We know about them because we played them at Hampden a couple of months ago, so they've got big threats. They're a team that likes to play going forward. They want to cause the opposition problems. I would expect a very open game because, like I said, Poland like to attack. They like to get forward. They've shown they can score goals. They've also shown that they can concede goals. So hopefully a good game and we get the right result.
You have to say the right things, and everyone wants to be ambitious, and we need to have that winning mentality and keep pushing, and I totally get all that. So everyone wants to stay in Nations League A. What are the degrees of success and failure within this group? There's a real possibility we get relegated tonight.
Yeah.
Is that a disgrace? Is that where you thought this group would end when it set out? You know what I mean? What constitutes the different sort of degrees of success and failure?
I think if we could even finish third in the group, it would be success for Scotland.
Yeah.
You're not going to finish above Portugal with all those wonderful players you mentioned a minute ago. I think we'll struggle to finish above Croatia, who have Modric and Kovacic and Perisic and Gvardiol and all these wonderful players. As Brian said, Gvardiol, 100 million euros, whatever it was. So Poland had Lewandowski. You saw him at Hampden. They don't have him tonight. So we have a chance to go and win a game that would take us to 7 points in the group, which I have to say is more than I thought we might accumulate, and get us a playoff and maybe stay up, because I didn't imagine we would stay up among the elite.
No chance. I didn't think we'd stay up either. So for me, last games, and we're still in there with a chance, so I think it would be success for us, definitely.
Because this is really negative then, and then people would, and I accept it, say that's kind of typical Scotland, accepting failure. A draw tonight, 5 points, you do get relegated. That still feels like you've competed in the group,
yeah,
and you've sort of been there. And if anything, it's probably the late penalty that we conceded at Hampden against Poland that kind of does you in. But
as John was saying,
but that's what I'm trying to establish.
We've only lost by a goal. You know, we haven't got into this group and lost 5-1 in Portugal the way the Poles did it the weekend. We haven't been disgraced in any of the fixtures so far.
Maybe it's one more for tomorrow. I suppose that's what I'm trying to forecast. How much do people care about staying in League A, do you think?
Well, I'd like to think they want to stay.
No, that's what I mean. I know they want to.
Well, from a professional point of view, on this show, working in newspapers, I think we're better having Poland, Portugal and Croatia coming to town than, I saw Craig Bellamy on your TV there a second ago, Wales are in a group with Montenegro and Iceland. And Northern Ireland have just had a back-to-back games against Belarus and Luxembourg.
Yeah.
We don't want them. We want Portugal, Croatia, Poland. We want, hopefully, second place tonight and a Nations League playoff against France, Germany, Netherlands or Spain, please.
It's glamorous games, but at the same time, I'm not so sure, because you've seen what happened in Euros. I know we're playing Germany in the opening game in Germany, right, and we get slaughtered, but that can happen to anybody in the opening game of the competition. It would be exciting, the fans would love it, but they wouldn't love it if you're going to get them turned over. But at the same time, a couple of the younger players, Ben Doak as one, playing against these better players, to give Scotland a better chance to qualify.
When the Scottish Cup draw comes round, you want Clyde Bank rather than Celtic or Rangers?
Until I get the final, aye.
See, can't argue with that logic. I did say we would find him. Who's the most contrary man in all of Scottish football?
Hugh
I've
Evans.
Had a message in to say Ben Doak should have started in the bench. It's from Hugh in Bearsden. There we go. 01419511025. Give us a call right now whilst I tell you about this.
Christmas Cash Countdown. Win £400,000.
Yes, there is an early Christmas treat of £400,000 up for grabs if you enter our Christmas Cash Countdown right now. It's a guaranteed winner. If you get the call, the money goes straight into your bank account within the hour. I mean, don't get me wrong, I know you would wait too, wouldn't you? Let's be honest. But just that extra speed there to make sure it's all done and dusted. Get ready to have the best festive season of your life if you win that £400,000. Text YES to 61025. Text for 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com for 250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. All the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website, and the lines close at 5 p.m. on Friday. It is so simple. Just answer your phone and the £400,000 would be yours. Text YES to 61025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
An hour until kick-off over in Poland. Roger Hanna and Brian Graham are previewing things with your help, hopefully. So 0141 951 1025. What do you make of this team? Is it the right team for Scotland tonight? It's the same as the other night, apart from John McGinn comes in for Ryan Christie and Lyndon Dykes replaces Tommy Conway. So Ben Doak does start, same back forward, Gilmore's in, McLean, McTominay, etc. And just those two changes. So is that the right shout or the wrong shout for you? Would you have done something different? Please use this opportunity to let us know. You can tweet as well. But Gordon has picked up the phone from Airdrie. How are you, Gordon?
I'm good. How are you, Gordon?
Not bad, not bad. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I've got a couple of points. Mm-hmm. The first one is, I don't understand why Steve Clark still picks Grant Hanley. He's an absolute walking disaster. Every time we play, he either loses goals or he causes goals. And I don't know why he sticks with him. I was lucky enough to be in Germany to watch the Hungary game, and he was an absolute disaster. So I don't understand why he didn't play Scott McKenna from the beginning rather than Grant Hanley.
Do you think it's a nod to the last couple, Gordon? I know Grant Hanley's had various forms of stick over his Scotland career, but he did play the full game in the 0-0 against Portugal. That got him a start the other night, and he went off at half time for whatever reason, but it was 0-0 when he went off. Is it that surprising now? I know what you're saying about maybe the Euros or maybe the past, but is it not quite predictable this time?
I think he's too unpredictable. That's a problem, Gordon. You know, he's not solid at all. I think Scott McKenna's a far better centre-back. He's more solid. Grant Hanley's too make a mistake. And that's it puts uncertainty in the team as well, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, what do you two think?
So for me, I would have dropped him. I'd have played McKenna all day long.
I think he has a favourite of Steve Clark's. I think he's up at 58 caps now, I think, for Scotland. I can only assume he had a knock when he came off at half time on Friday night. Scott McKenna went on. Scott McKenna did fine. He's doing very well at Las Palmas in La Liga this season. He's up to 40 caps as well. So we're talking two experienced international centre backs. I wondered as well, Gordon, if just because he went off at half time, if that meant McKenna might get the nod ahead of him. But as Gordon says, I think it's a loyal selection after the two clean sheets against Croatia and Portugal.
I was surprised. Obviously, when you go off at half-time, you must have been injured. You must have had a knock. So I was surprised to see him in the team sheet tonight. I thought McKenna would have started ahead of him. I thought McKenna looked more comfortable with the ball at his feet second half. Obviously, I'll go back to it again. Croatia are down to 10 players.
Do you think there was anything in that? Because I just wondered on Friday, do you think there was anything in them going down to 10 but just before the break? And then it was seen that Scott McKenna, you know, if they are going to be pegged back a bit more, that Scott McKenna carries the ball. I just wondered if it was tactical the other night in any way.
It might have been, because obviously you're going to have more time at the back with the ball at your feet. And I'm not saying that's a big strength for Grant Hanley. He'd rather the ball was in the air than going challenging and heading and dominating centre forwards. He's not really comfortable with the ball at his feet. And I felt as if we really struggled first half to try and play out for the back. It was a bit more easier second half when you get down to 10 players. Was it tactical bringing McKenna on to be better with the ball? Potentially, yes. We just don't know. We've not got the inside knowledge, but it kind of looked that way to me.
I think in various times on this show, Gordon's call would have fitted right in. I don't expect anyone out there to say Grant Hanley's nailed on and always nailed on and never put a foot wrong for Scotland. I think that would be wide of the mark, Roger. I just feel like, I'm not sure tonight is the Grant Hanley debate, just given, like we said, it's, even if it is a game and a half, it's a game and a half of clean sheet against Portugal and then Croatia.
It's interesting to see how that central defence has evolved, because it was a long, long time we played three at the back with Kieran Tierney in the left, Jack Hendry in the right, and Hanley in the middle. There's now, you know, John Souter, who didn't go to the Euros in the summer, if you remember, was left out of the squad. He now seems to have emerged as the first pick alongside Hanley.
And by the way, a lot of that qualification campaign, which we all said was so good, was Hendry, Porteous and Tierney.
Yeah, it was.
They've all sort of contributed at various times.
They have, and they're all getting their camp numbers up. I've no problem with the back four. I think the displays defensively against Portugal and Croatia have probably earned this back four and the goalkeeper the opportunity.
I do hope Grant Hanley doesn't give a penalty away the way he did when these sides met at Hampden. That was not his finest moment. So I see where you're coming from in that regard, Gordon. What else jumps out at you from the team?
Well, Ben Doak, I heard the guys talking earlier on. He's got a natural talent. He can take people on. He's took the Man City left back to the cleaners. I'm old enough to remember Wally Henderson and Jimmy Johnson, who did the same. And what worries me is when Steve Clark says he needs to, inverted commas, develop, what does that mean? So we know all the academies like Arsenal and Liverpool, it's pass move, pass move, pass move. I hope he doesn't try and get that natural ability out of him and make him somebody like that. That's what worries me about that.
I know there is a gripe in modern football that everything's too structured. I think the person that tries to stop Ben Doak running with the ball, though, even by modern standards, would be foolish, surely.
No, I don't think you're going to try and take that out of the boys' game. That's what he's good at. That's his natural ability shining through. So I think you'd be really silly to try and knock that out of the boy and make him be a structured right winger where the ball's on the other side, make sure you're tucking in, so and so. You want to just get him on the ball constantly.
Well, that right winger that's ahead of him at Liverpool's quite good.
That lad, Salah.
That
Salah, he's not bad.
You should maybe watch what Salah does, because when he's got the ball, he does quite well.
Loosely on that, would it be better if Ben Doak and John McGinn were on the other sides tonight? I mean,
we don't know what sides they're on.
I think it is going to be McGinn on the left and Doak on the right, like he was the other night. But you wonder if that would be so better suited.
Cut in and shoot, but I think he's better on the right hand side because he likes to go to the byline. He likes going on the outside. He's not really come. Every time he took Guardiola, he tried to go down the line. Yeah. Even the one he spins him, he goes down the line. He's not really what to come in the pitch. He wants to get. He's an old-fashioned winger.
I like that.
Touch, whip into the box.
Yeah. And is he so good at it that the predictability isn't actually an issue? You could see, like, the other night, you know where he's going, but that doesn't mean
it's a sharp. That's what I mean, Gordon. It's a sharp. I mean. As soon as he knows what he's doing, the defender knows what he's doing, but he's too sharp for him and he's away.
You don't know when he's going to go, and then he just does it.
It's a little jink. It's a low centre of gravity. He's brilliant at it. And he's only going to get better. He's still a young boy. He is still going to develop into a more mature player, and he's only going to get better. So
Gordon talking about, you know, hope the dribbling doesn't come out. Were you on the show last week when I read that stat that appeared about the most carries into the penalty area this season? Did you see this?
Yeah.
See, this was the night you were on.
I think so.
The top six across Europe this season for most carries into the penalty area was Salah, Salah, Mbappe, Doak, Gyökeres, Barcola, and Vinicius Jr. So the point I'm trying to make is that even at club level, I don't think there is an attempt from anyone to stop him.
No, and neither of them should be. You know, he's a natural talent. He's only 19 years of age. Don't suppress that talent. Don't try and force him into a structure that lessens the impact and the threat that the lad's got. And by the way, Liverpool will not have sent him out to Middlesbrough without looking deeply into how Middlesbrough are going to play him. They've got a very innovative young coach there in Michael Carrick. He's settled in well to the team structure. He's creating goals for them. I think they won 5-1 just before the international break. Would not surprise me if we finish in the top six and have a push to go to the Premier League. And I'm sure Arne Slot will be keeping an eye on every game he's playing.
Gordon, you're a good man. Thank you for taking the time tonight. And it takes us up nicely to time for this. Beat the
Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I cannot wait for tonight's Beat the Pundit.
No.
For a number of reasons, because I hope you're watching Andy Halliday, because regular listeners to the show or watch viewers will know we've got a bit of an issue here on a Monday. I cannot help it. It is a heads every Monday. And Andy Halliday, who usually sits in the seat closest to me, he's heads and he always plays, which means Roger Hanna very rarely plays. However, Roger Hanna is in Andy Halliday's seat. So either it's going to be heads as normal and you'll play and he'll get his wish, or this is going to be the first time that it is tails on a Monday and Halliday, wherever he may be, will be smashing up his phone.
Brian, it even landed in the heads last week and they made me play anyway.
It's getting out of control. Anyway, 01419511025 and the lines close at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna is here along with Partick Thistle's Brian Graham. We are building up to kick off for Poland against Scotland. Remember, Scotland must beat Poland and Croatia lose. That's right, isn't it, Roger? Mm-hmm. To finish second. Good. But we need this
three-goal swing.
Could still finish third, of course. Any win for Scotland tonight finishes third.
Yeah.
And a draw or defeat, the trap door into League B. Yes. Good. Okay. We're all across the permutations, I think. Keep your calls coming on the team. We had a debate about would Ben Doak start, would he not? He does. Only two changes: Tommy Conway out for Lyndon Dykes and Ryan Christie out for John McGinn. Is that the right team? Would you have done something different? And if you want to use this chance, this kind of halfway point in the show, to shift focus away from international football, then you can do. 01419511025. I do wonder what you Rangers fans made of those rumours about Philippe Clement and the Belgium job today. Give us a call and we'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. Brian Graham, you've got three wins, one loss.
One defeat, yeah.
But you're blaming Gordon Dale for that loss.
He got in my head.
He got in your head a bit, didn't he? Roger Hanna, I just can't wait to see how the coin falls this evening.
I would play every week for the rest of the season if I thought it was going to be a tail tonight.
I just don't know where Halliday is. I think he'll phone in. If he's listening, he'll be outraged if this is a tails. You're sitting in his seat.
I've never wanted a tail as much in my life.
Right, let's meet tonight's contestant first. It's Scott on the line. How are you, Scott?
Hey, I'm good, Jude.
Not bad, Scott. Have you ever played before?
No, I've never played.
What's the thought process now on a Monday? Would you rather just take on Roger Hanna with his minus two and have a crack at it, or do you want to avoid the anorak?
Roger Hanna, I'll avoid it.
Well, we'll toss the coin anyway and see how you felt. So heads is Roger Hanna this time. Tails is Brian Graham. Andy Halliday can sleep well. It's still a heads.
Oh, good luck, Scott.
Every Monday. Right, Scott is on. So what we do is we give Roger some greatest hits radio to listen to, and that way he can't hear what is going on. Scott, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and just pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Yeah, right,
30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who's bottom of the Scottish Championship?
Adrian.
Who was the last Scot to score a win against, score in a win against Poland?
Pass.
Darren Young's the current manager of which SPFL side?
Queen's Park.
What club connects John Spencer, Ross McCormick and James McFadden?
Everton. Oh my god, it's terrible.
You've got time. What club connects John Spencer, Ross McCormick, James McFadden? Give me a guess quick though.
Everton.
Okay, let's bring him back. Roger Hanna, can you hear us?
Yes, sorry.
You ready?
Bit of Kate Bush now.
Same set of questions to you. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which team's currently bottom of the Championship?
Airdrie.
Who was the last Scot to score in a win against Poland?
Scott Brown.
Darren Young is the current manager of which Clyde. SPFL side? Which club connects John Spencer, Ross McCormick and James McFadden?
Motherwell.
What was the score in yesterday's SWPL match between Celtic and Rangers?
3-2 Rangers.
Who is the only player in the current Scotland squad who's played for Queen of the South?
Robbie McCrory.
And Kevin Nisbet is on loan at Aberdeen from which club?
Millwall.
Okay.
London Dykes.
He's going to tell me McCrory's done it as well, I reckon. Oh. Rogers maybe outdone the question maker. It wouldn't surprise me. Scott, how do you think it went?
Absolutely terrible.
Well, that's one way of putting it. Let's go through them. You got the first one. You said Airdrie Onions, didn't you?
Yeah.
I thought that I could just about make it out. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. Airdrie are bottom of the championship, so fair play, well done. Roger, you just start on -2, of course, so yeah, you've not made any headway yet. The last Scot to score in a win against Poland is Scott Brown. Well done. It was that friendly, wasn't
it? Yeah, 1-0.
Andy Robertson's debut.
Oh, it might have been
80 caps tonight.
Yeah, there you go, 80 caps.
Third all time.
Goes level with Darren Fletcher.
Level with Darren Fletcher.
Wee bit to do, yeah. 11 to reach Jim Leighton, 22 to reach Kilkenny.
He'll reach Jim Leighton, won't he?
I thought so, yeah. Wee things are going. Craig Gordon might reach Jim Leighton.
Well, he's only one behind Andy Robertson. Anyway, we'll get back to that perhaps. Because I'm trying to think, see the Matt Ritchie and Stephen Fletcher night. Was that after that, but we lost that game? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so who's the last Scot to score in a win against Poland? Scott Brown. Roger Hanna gets it. Darren Young is the manager of Clyde, so that's Roger Hanna now level with his -2, sort of wiped out. John Spencer, Ross McCormick, James McFadden. Do you know what, Scott? See, as far as wrong answers go, I see what you were doing there. John Spencer and James McFadden, they said Everton.
Yeah, yeah.
But you throw Ross McCormick in and it does become Motherwell. Roger goes one in front. What was the score between Celtic and Rangers in the SWPL yesterday? It was 3-2 to Rangers. Roger got it, stretches his lead. And in typical Roger Hanna fashion, I need to give you Robbie McCrory, because whoever wrote the questions forgot that he has played for Queen of the South and is in.
Were you Googling checking that now?
Aye. I should have known not to doubt you.
I was doubting him as well.
Well, the answer that I have is Lyndon Dykes. But if they just said, like, I don't know, outfield player or... Well, he's not been capped, has he? Can we wriggle out of it that way?
Is he in the Scotland squad or is he not in the Scotland squad? I think you'll find he's number 21 in his bag this evening. Squad.
Well, listen, you got it anyway. And Kevin Nisbet's on loan from Millwall. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 for Roger. -2. It's still a 5-1 win. Hard line, Scott. Maybe next time.
Well done, Roger.
Cheers, Scott.
Good man. That was Scott and Johnston on the line. And your chance to beat the pundit is back tomorrow. It's been mostly the pundits that have been winning recently. But I have to say, there was still a fair few sine balls I saw you two tackling when you came in here at the start of the show. So clearly we're having to give some away. You all right? You happy with that victory? Do you want to maybe...
Halladay and Uber Agent, he didn't get a shot.
I know, I'm trying to think. Are you on for the 10? Did you get all them right?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's fine. How many spells did James McFadden featured in 2 of these 10 questions? How many spells did he have at Motherwell?
I'm going to guess 3.
It is 3. I'm not even genuinely not sure I could have. It feels like 10. But anyway, yeah. Which SPFL team play at Boro Briggs?
Elgin.
Name the Polish player a Ranger signed from Dundee in 1999.
Darius Adamczyk.
Oh, 10 for Roger. Well done. Well done, Roger.
He's too
Hanna.
Good.
He is too good.
Make him -5.
I think -3 is coming, I have to say. I can sense it.
Can I let you into a wee secret? We've got a quiz on the sports pages of the Sun on Sunday.
Right.
Every Sunday. The last question in yesterday's quiz: which player did Rangers sign for Dundee in 1999? So I don't know whether your quiz master's been reading our paper yesterday.
So he's stealing questions from the paper and he can't remember that Robbie McCrory played for Queen of the South. Just great. Brilliant. Okay, well done, Roger Hanna. Not only did you get a win, you got the 10 as well. But he's now chipping in to say that Robbie McCrory was only on loan. The question says, who's the only player in the Scotland squad who's played for Queen of the South? That does not make a distinction between loans. So
when he was on loan, what was he doing? Making the tee? Sweeping the track? He was playing for Queen of the South.
We'll give Roger Hanna the benefit of the doubt. It is quite something that that caps tally that we spoke about. You know, I think there became this time where everyone used to bang on every Scotland game or every time he did anything of note, every time he then won a trophy, but Andy Robertson's story. And we know he sold the tickets at Hampden and he played for Queen's Park. But then what happened is everyone said they were fed up of hearing that, and you had to just accept he is where he is now, which is true. Yeah. So it all just sort of got forgotten about. But this guy's going to become the at least the second highest ever appearance holder. So we're saying he's level third with Darren Fletcher tonight on 80. I mean, touch wood, obviously going to overtake that. And then has Jim Leighton in his sights. 11 more, did you say?
Yeah, 91
maybe a bit of a stretch for Kenny Dalglish, but we'll see once we win the World Cup and so on. That's incredible, isn't it? And I think he's already, he's the record appearance holder as captain, isn't he?
Yeah, more appearances as skipper. It's funny because I remember when we get knocked out the first Euros 2021, Steve Clarke was saying that, you know, in comparison to that Croatia team at the time, in comparison to the England team at the time and the Czech team at the time, we didn't have a lot of international caps, didn't have a lot of international experience in that squad. And he said, over the years to come, these lads will build up experience. They'll become better with playing more games for Scotland. And you look now, 80 caps for Robertson, 79 caps for Craig Gordon. If you look, McTominay's high in the 50s. John McGinn, I think, 71 or something like that. You've got Grant Hanley high in the 50s. Stuart Armstrong's in the 50s. Ryan Christie's in the 50s. So what he said back then...
57 for McTominay tonight, maybe.
Yeah, I think, well, Kenny McLean's pushing hard about to get to 50. When he came on the other night, that's McKenna into the 40s. So what Clark said those years ago, three and a half years ago, has come to fruition, because we've got to another Euros. We've got into League A in the Nations League. We might stay in League A in the Nations League, and we've now got a squad that probably won't be too fearful of going into these World Cup qualifiers after the draw next month.
I think it's 58 for McTominay tonight, but don't get me wrong, Brian, there's obviously, I don't expect, if Scotland lose tonight, I don't think anyone's going to be jumping around celebrating the caps totals, but it's just worth paying tribute, I think, to that level of consistency, availability, you know, in an era where there are loads of debates about people's willingness to play international football. And you could say there have been times when Scotland suffered from that, but never under Steve Clarke. Andy Robertson, John McGinn, McTominay, they are always there. They're always there and always available.
They always turn up, and the players are all buying into what Steve Clarke's done over the last couple of years. It seems as if they all really enjoy meeting up as a group. There's a great camaraderie within the squad. That they're a good bunch of boys, good honest boys. But you go back to Robertson, what his story is, it's remarkable that it doesn't matter what people don't want to know, he was selling programmes. He was selling programmes. And now he's gone on his 80th cap. Unbelievable. And you've got Ryan Gold, John Souter, three of them sharing a flat together at Dundee United. Mm. Now they're in the Scotland squad together. It's a remarkable story, and it's got to be highlighted and celebrated a little bit as well.
Yeah, and before someone points out, I know Joe McGinn missed the last camp, but that was the whole point. That's such a rarity. You know, he's always... Most of these guys always there and always available. Anyway, we can keep the build-up going to tonight's game if you so wish, half an hour away from kick-off. Let's switch focus, I think, with Robert, who's on the line. How are you, Robert?
How are you doing, guys? Okay?
Not bad. What are you thinking tonight, then?
I've got 2 points, if I could. Mm-hmm. One is today with Clement, and the other one's to, if I can speak to, is it Graham for Thistle?
Brian, yes.
Brian, sorry. The first one is obviously with Clement, I just come in for work, and I seen the thing saying that hopefully he's maybe going to get picked up with Belgium. I just don't think he's up for the challenge with Celtic, to be honest with you guys.
Yeah, let's address that story first in case anyone's not seen it, Roger. It would be at the rumour stage, I think. We would have to acknowledge that first and foremost. I don't think there's anything imminent. Belgium have a manager for a start. But there were one or two things doing the rounds today that he's got a relationship, Philippe Clement, with the people who make the decisions on who the Belgian manager should be. The Belgian manager, Domenico Tedesco, is getting a bit of stick as well at the moment. So what is this? Are people putting two and two together, or is Robert going to get his wish?
I think there's a bit of two and two together. I think there's a close friend that has been appointed sporting director of the Belgian FA. The Belgians lost to Israel in their League A game last night. They're going to go into a relegation playoff. They could drop out of the elite of Europe. Domenico Tedesco, great club manager, hasn't quite worked out for him since taking over from Roberto Martinez in charge of Belgium. I think he'll struggle to keep his job, I have to say. But you know, it's not just one man's decision. The Belgian FA have a tradition in recent years of looking beyond their own borders for a manager. You know, Martinez worked in the English Premier League. He'd been at Wigan, he'd been at Everton, but, you know, before he took that job. He's not a Belgian, neither Tedesco. He hadn't worked internationally before. So it'll be interesting to see what the Belgians do. I believe Clement's name is high up in the betting over there. That never really goes for too much, I don't think, Gordon.
But ultimately, Robert, you're hoping that does come to fruition. You think that would be a good way of moving forward?
I think so, guys. I just think, guys, he's tried everything. I just think he's running out of ideas. I just don't think he knows his settled team, which is quite worrying since he's been in. On my point with Rangers, and then I want to jump to Thistle. I'm kind of looking away from the normal, and I know this will be quite controversial, but I think I would love to see that Reno Gattuso there. I think he'd be quite a firecracker. I think he would kind of put stealth in the team and had the players running the way that he was when he played with Rangers with Gaza and Loudon and all that kind of thing.
On behalf of the Scottish media, and as a man who has to fill the back page of the Scottish Sun every day, I would echo that. Get Reno Gattuso back into Ibrox before this programme's over, please, Robert.
He'd be a firecracker, all right. I just wonder, Brian, like, things don't always work this way. We don't know how people in Belgium feel about Philippe Clement, but from our side of things, would it be a surprise to you if a manager who is getting stick here and who is under the spotlight here then got a job with what is still the team ranked sixth in the world, I think, in international football?
Yeah. Obviously, we don't know the ins and outs again, but I'd be very surprised if Philippe Clement gets the Belgian national team job. He's not doing a particularly good job at Rangers at the moment. They've been struggling all season. They've not been a great watch. Not really got a style of play. The fans, I'm clearly not happy with him. So, but if that job comes available and he does get the opportunity to go, I think he would jump at it, but I don't see it happening.
Because I suppose we're maybe in that, let's meet somewhere in the middle, Roger. You've got loads of Rangers fans who phone this show and say they don't want Philippe Clement to be the manager. But even the ones who are not there yet would probably still take compensation from someone and the chance for him to move on, wouldn't they? Do you know what I mean? It's not like they would be so desperate that he would stay that they would knock any of that stuff back.
No, and I'd also be fascinated to see Philippe Clement's take on it, because if you speak to him just now, he's adamant that he's a year into a project, that he can see light at the end of the tunnel, things are moving in the right direction. Publicly, he'll say that he believes this team can rise to the challenge that's been laid before them by Celtic. But, you know, they are a number of points off the pace at the minute. They're 9 points behind. I think the League Cup final, Premier Sports Cup final, coming up on the 15th of December is a huge game. Last year's Cup final against Aberdeen was the platform upon which Clement sort of built last season. It's not going well this season, and you just wonder if that final presents him with a platform and an opportunity to really build something, or whether it just provides another defeat to a Celtic team that he's yet to beat.
Interesting stuff. What do you think, Rangers fans? Is that just rumour mill as far as you're concerned? Do you think there might be something in it? Do you hope there's something in it? Or maybe you hope there's not? Give us a call right now and let us know. I know you had another point, Robert. Take it away. Graham's listening.
It was just about Thistle. Anybody that knows me and my family, I'm the black sheep of the family, because every one of my dad's brothers, there were six brothers, they were off Mad Thistle supporters, so much so. The town then, the city, they had a barrier that, when I've gone back the way to the early 70s, when I used to go with my dad, it was the third barrier up behind the goal. And every one of them, including my dad, are all buried. All their ashes are behind there, except their one brother left, but all their names are on the Jackie Husband stand. And it's quite unique, because my wee grandfather, George Brownlee, he died the night after they beat Celtic 4-1. He went into the whole lot of them all went into a drunken stupor. They couldn't believe that he'd won the cup. Alan Ruff, and you can ask him this, they ended up back in my granny's flat down in Scotstoun. He couldn't make it up, and my wee grander, he got put to his bed. And the next day, obviously, sadly, it was the next day, it was kind of one day after they won the cup, he passed away. So what a way to go. No, I mean, you just
not going to lie, Robert. It's a bit of a roller coaster of a story. That I didn't know whether to laugh or whether to take the touching nature of it all.
You couldn't make it up. As I said, they were just the Brownleys are well known for being Thistle supporters, and unfortunately,
What happened to you then, Biggin? Come on.
What happened to you? Just up the road as well.
I'll tell you what happened. I was 7 years of age, and the wee guy at the end of the street had a wee invalid card. Rangers were playing in a European game on a Wednesday, and I went. He asked me to come with him because I was to get the pie in the Bovril. Unfortunately for me, the game went into extra time, and my dad was going ballistic because I get back late, and I was trying to sneak out of it, and he knew. He just says, "Where were you?" Telling all the stories, he went, "No, you weren't, you're away seeing that other mob."
That was you, you're hooked.
That was me, hooked, London Sinker, guys. But as I said, I was so pleased that they won 5-1 on Saturday. It was a good wee result. And to be honest, my heart's always for Rangers, but I've always got a wee soft spot.
It's only you and me that are old enough to remember those wee blue cars behind the goal, Robert.
I've seen it at the Transport Museum. That's how I know about it.
Funny enough, I was doing there with my grandson and my son, and I was telling him that he just laughed. He said, "Dad," I went, "Robert, honestly," I said, "you couldn't make that up."
Honestly, the worst of it is, Hugh Keevan still asks for a lift home in them after the game.
I've got a 3-year-old who's got quite an intense obsession with the Transport Museum. I don't know why. So I've honestly been about 40 times in the last 3 years, and there is one of them.
Yeah.
I can picture it vividly. To bring it up to the current day, Brian, how big a win was it at the weekend? You look at that table now and it's starting to look a bit better than it was for you a few weeks ago.
Yeah, we've seen with the fixtures it was one against two, three against four, all the way up. It was quite unique.
We spoke about this last week. Do you think this ever happened before?
No, I don't think it has.
No.
So we knew that we had to pick up 3 points because teams above us were going to drop points. So, and we're on a good run at the moment. That's now 7 unbeaten. Obviously with Falkirk losing, great result for Livingston, makes the pack a wee bit tighter. So there's a long way to go at the season. We've got high expectations as a football club, but so does everybody this year. Everybody in the Championship believes they can win the Championship, so it's a really exciting league, but we'll just keep plugging away and we'll see where we come.
If Roger Hanna thinks it's the first time that first has played second, third, fourth, fifth and sixth, seventh and eighth, ninth and tenth, I'll take your word for it, because I wouldn't know where to start in terms of looking that up, but it must be.
Yeah,
it must be.
Particularly in that, you know, first at home to second, third at home.
Oh, you're
to
kidding!
Fourth.
I didn't even click on that. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh no, you're right. You've got me sold. Then there's no way that can have happened before.
No, I don't think so. No.
Brilliant.
As a quiz question.
That's incredible. The big result for Brian was that one. Just wonder, you know, the sort of statement winner, call it what you want, Roger. That Livy beating Falkirk and cutting
the
gap.
That can be the case because it was second to home to first, wasn't it?
Oh, there you go.
It was.
Oh, come on. See the faith I put in you there?
Oh, no.
Who told you that then?
Halliday.
No, it wasn't. Now 3 points the gap at the top. Falkirk for a while, I think most people. Producer John's given it though. I never thought we were going to win the league. I've always said playoffs would be fine. He can say what he likes, but a few weeks ago, I think most people really thought Falkirk were going to motor on. And they still might, but only 3 points now, and Livy are just going about their business.
Well, listen. Davy Martindale will be the happiest man in the Championship. Not just because they won the game, but the way they've kind of sneaked up under the radar. Producer John's beloved Falkirk got all the headlines. You even get a mention in Davy Martindale's post-match at the weekend saying, everybody talks about Falkirk, they talk about Partick, they talk about Wraith. I haven't heard a single person talking about Wraith this season, but anyway. But he'll be quite glad that they're under the radar. Quietly, they've built up a good run of form. And that was a statement when beating Falkirk at the weekend to get within 3 points of them.
14 games they've played, they've lost once, Livingston.
Yeah, and you look at the squad as well. Yes, he's lost players. He lost Jamal George. He lost, you know, two or three other sort of key players. But he's got experience in the right areas. You look at Ryan McGowan at the back. You go through that midfield, you know, Pittman, Shinney, Kelly, all the guys you've seen before. Jamie Brandon's been converted in there as well. And you see with Teddy Yenge, he's got the big threat.
Thank you, Robert. 01419511025. Continuing the build up to kick off over in Poland. If you want to talk Philippe Clement, Belgium, or anything else, give us a call. We'll do it next.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas
with J&D Pierce, Scotland's premier structural steel specialist. Think steel, think quality, think Pierce.
This is always a real marker in the year for me when we do our first mention of Mission Christmas on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Forget when you see your first tree going up or when you hear your first Christmas song. When we speak about Mission Christmas for the first time on the show, that's when I know it is getting near. The sad reality though, we wish we didn't have to do this, of course, for loads of kids across Glasgow and the West. It's not one of the most exciting times of the year because we want to make sure every child gets that excited feeling of Mission Christmas. Food to buy, homes to heat, winter clothes to buy. Families are struggling already and Christmas treats can become a luxury for people. So obviously, I'm sure most of you listening would agree, no child should miss out and you can make a difference. You can help us by supporting Cash for Kids. With your help, we can make sure every family has just the essentials they need. Food, clothes, heating, hopefully something for the kids to open on the big day. Simi are based in Townhead and work alongside young people and their families to help achieve their hopes and ambitions for themselves and their community. Molly Buckingham explains the work they do at Christmas to remove the stigma for people asking for food packages.
You know, we've got young people that we've spoken to at the age of 18 who've said, you know, I think I'd be on the streets drinking and homeless if it wasn't for Simi. We've got young people whose lives we have literally saved, and we've got young people for whom are now in employment with us, and a lot of young people for whom just being out in nature and getting the opportunities we're able to provide just help manage the stress of everyday life in an inner city environment that's not always the most pleasant.
Yeah, in some parts of Glasgow in the West, the stats are pretty damning. As many as one in two children living in poverty. We can't always make it this big magical day, but with your help we can make it a different day for thousands of kids right on our doorsteps. And we guarantee as well 100% of the funds, every penny raised, goes straight back to support those families who need it. So it really will make such a difference. For all the details on how you can donate, go to clyde1.com/mission. And that's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, supported by J&D Pierce.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Brian Graham and Roger Hanna are here. 0141 951 1025. Just under 15 minutes to go until kickoff for Scotland. Remember, trying to first and foremost stay in Nations League A and maybe even squeeze second place out of it tonight. We will see what happens, the combination of results that we need, and see if we can manage to make it happen. 0141 951 0025 on the phone. Give us a shout. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB, and we've got a nice email in here from Colin. And you know, I always say that the email is how you get in touch on the full time teaser. So you send the questions in to us on there, and it's I like it. Topical. Can you name the nine non-Scots who are currently in the Scottish Premiership who've made their international debuts this year? So the calendar year. Nine non-Scots currently in the Scottish Premiership who've made their international debut in 2024. Hold on a minute. How many times do you think I've done this show with you? Hundreds. I've never noticed that you write the question out in shorthand. Look at this. Look at the old journalist in him just showing off. Seriously, do you do that every time?
I was just showing him a notebook, yeah. T-line shorthand.
Can you not even bring yourself to just write a couple?
It takes too long.
I suppose the clue's in the title, isn't it? You ever seen that before, Brian? That'd be...
No, I've not seen that before.
It's a skill for old guys like him, isn't it? It must be.
Can teach me later. I'm an old guy, I know.
A lost art of journalism. I did not... Do you know why this is? Because you usually sit over there.
Yeah.
So I never knew you wrote the questions out in shorthand. Let me see that. No, I mean, that's gobbledygook to me, quite frankly. I think when I... This might surprise people that have a journalism qualification.
You're a broadcaster.
I know, but I think at that point they were, it was sort of in the, you could maybe do it if you wanted, or it was starting to, yeah, I think broadcasting was probably the... Mm-hmm. So you still use it regularly?
Oh yeah, I use it every day.
Okay. Anyway, who am I to judge? Right, you got any answers for me, more importantly?
What did we mention him earlier on? Caelan Boyd-Munson, Northern Ireland, St Mirren.
Yes, I think we mentioned him during the break.
Yeah, because you looked at the team and he wasn't in it.
So this might be news to the listeners. But yep, you're right. Caelan Boyd-Munson of St Mirren made his Northern Ireland debut in June of this year. Any others? The highest profile one on the list is...
Oh, the Arnie Ingles.
Arnie Ingles, well done. Just last month, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
Played the last game, didn't he? Started again.
He started, yeah, the weekend. Was that against Italy? And he started again.
Soon to be managed by Philippe Clement, no?
Oh, can you imagine? Okay. That'd be a good talker.
These are quite tough. Any jumping out at you, Brian?
I'm struggling now. Let you think about it.
What about, I'm just going to try alphabetically get down the league. What about the lad Keskinen at Aberdeen?
It's good doing the teaser with him, isn't it?
Aye, because
Toby Keskinen.
Because did he not play against England, did he not?
Finland, he did. Well done. Right. 01419511025 on the phones. Thank you again to Colin for sending that question in. The international break always carries that risk, if you like, that you're, especially if you don't care much about international football, or if it's another country that's not your own, and you see your players go away and get injured. So Matondo has tweeted in, HTN backing him up, to say that Casemiro has gone off injured, and it looks a bad one for the Netherlands under-21s.
Playing against England tonight, aren't they?
Very on brand for Rangers to get more injuries.
Yeah.
At a time when maybe there's space there in that defence. Maybe James Tavernier's not playing as often. Yeah. Maybe Robin Proper isn't cutting it. So listen, it's just happened, so I don't know what the diagnosis will be.
Yeah.
But if those guys on Twitter, if their fears are realised, then that's not ideal, is it?
Absolutely not. Rangers have had more than a fair share of injuries this season, which is ironic because Philippe Clement made a big play last season that they wouldn't have the same injury problems this season. They have had, they're just getting some players back. Danilo was just coming back there before the international break. No, they don't need that. Because Casemiro actually looked like a decent acquisition. First style player, either side, full-back, centre-half. It looked as if he could do a job for Rangers.
Yep, well, the guys on Twitter are the bearers of bad news for you Rangers fans, I think. So let's go one more call probably. We can squeeze in before kick-off. We are here until 8 o'clock. Robbie is on. Robbie, we've heard the team. Ben Doak stays in. Is that something that impresses you? I'm sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Before I get to my main point, Gordon, I would just like you to get a shout out to my dad. He's a long-term listener. He's a year younger than Hugh Keevans. Hugh Keevans, I believe, is 85 years old. So my dad is 84 years old. 84. And he'll be listening in his old transistor radio, you know, the one with the wee aerial, with the wee handheld one with the... You've got to tune it in. So he's listening on one of them. So his nickname's the Silver Fox. So give him a shout out. Long term listener, Gordon.
Good on the Silver Fox. Listening to the wireless. Evans on the wireless transistor radio. Brilliant. I hope he's, well, I hope this point better be a good one then, Robbie, if your old man's listening.
Yeah, yeah. It's just about Ben Doak. 2.5 years ago, me and my dad were actually down at the Falkirk Stadium under 17 European Championships, and Ben Doak was playing. 3 games were Georgia, Czech Republic, and Germany. It's just a way back then. I mean, I think he was only 16 at the time, Gordon, but all the time he got the ball, he was just driving at defenders, really causing nothing but chaos. And even Germany, who were obviously the favourites, the four teams, even they were doubling up on him, you know, putting 2 men on him. And I just want to just, I mean, how far in the game can this guy go? Because I think he's, I know, I'm going to put him on, I'm going to name a player here who is, he's not playing too well now, actually, Real Madrid's Kylian Mbappe. I think he's a wee bit like Mbappe with his pace. I'm just wondering what Roger and the other panel member think about how far in the game can this guy go? Because I really think at 18, if he's producing for Scotland, or near to dropping him out of the team, I'm really glad he's starting tonight, because he started the last game on Friday. And I just think he's, sky's the limit for the guy. I mean, what did the panel really think about how, I mean, let's say Roger Hannah for 4 years' time, where do you think this guy is going to be?
Well, if you ask Ben Doak in 4 years' time, he would like to be established in the Liverpool first team and established in the Scotland team. For me, he already is established in the Scotland team, even just with 5 caps.
Think Robbie, so? Yeah.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he has to be. His next task will be to go back to Liverpool next summer and convince Arne Slot that he's ready to be involved in that first team squad. Mo Salah, who we're carrying on mentioning earlier on, I think he's out of contract in the summer, hasn't yet signed anything to stay. So there may be openings for Ben Doak in a year's time or in 8 months' time going back to Liverpool. That has to be
the ambition. It's not beyond them. Look at McTominay at Manchester United, Gilmer at Chelsea. They all did it, you know, before they moved on. So he can get into that Liverpool team and he can stay there. That's how good he is.
Is that where this loan spell, though, it can't be make or break at 19, Brian? But I'm talking about if we all hope it's like an elite level that Ben Doak is going to play at club, then a lot must be riding on this loan spell. So he's an English Championship player currently.
See, that's the thing. At 19, he probably could sit on the bench and he could pick up a big win bonus for playing for Liverpool, being on the bench, maybe getting 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there. But I think it's so important that he's out at a club where he's playing week in, week out, getting that match sharpness, match fitness, playing against men to really get to learn the game. And he's doing that, and he's benefiting from it, and Scotland are benefiting from it, because you've seen him Friday night, the performance he can get to. I believe he can get better, but the loan spell is so, so important, because at a young age of 19, he needs to be playing week in, week out. There's no point in kids sitting on a bench.
Someone once told me, and to be fair, it's someone who would know these things, but I don't know if there are any examples that contradict it, so take it with a pinch of salt if you want, that if under Jurgen Klopp, if you were loaned out, that was it, to be honest. You know, they're very slim chance of even, you know, he didn't tend to see it as getting this game time, because Liverpool played in such a specific way under him that he wanted you kept around to learn about it, and that's what saw with Ben Doak previously.
Yeah.
So maybe Arne Slot sees things differently.
Yeah, I think he probably does see things differently. You look at Liverpool squad as well. Ben Doak is never going to go there and go straight in. Andy Robertson didn't go to Liverpool and go straight into the team, if you remember. You know, when he moved from Hull for quite a bit of money, he had to wait for, you know, I think it was Alberto Moreno at the time who was in the team. He didn't immediately convince Jurgen Klopp he was worth putting in. Eventually he did. But you look at, you know, the lad Conor Bradley, who's pushing hard. He has been out on loan.
Yeah.
Curtis Jones. Took Curtis Jones an awful long time to get into that Liverpool team, and he's excelled this season under Slot. And now he's in the England team and scoring goals.
Thank you to Robbie. It's almost kick-off time. Flower of Scotland ringing out around the stadium in Poland. And we'll get the show up and running next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scotland over in Poland about to get underway, hoping that Steve Clarke's side can get the win they need, and then hoping that there's a wee favour from Portugal, albeit a much weakened Portugal team, hoping they can do the business against Croatia. Scotland can do the business away in Poland, and it all leads to a second place finish. Roger Hanna would take third, he says, so a win, win tonight for Scotland would seal third. Doesn't matter by what margin, doesn't matter what happens elsewhere. A draw or a defeat would be fourth place. I mean, a draw would still be 5 points, which is not a disastrous campaign, but you don't want to finish bottom of anything, do you? So we're underway. How do you see it going?
Confident we'll win 2-1.
Are you? Okay, yeah. I like that.
I'm not so sure. I think it'll be a draw. Right, okay. I hope we... Listen, I want us to win. I love watching Scotland. I'm a big Scotland supporter, but it's a tough venue to go to. Scotland away from home. I want us to win, but my head's saying it's going to be a draw.
You were there in the summer?
Yes.
That Marmy?
Yep.
In Germany with your son?
Loved it. Absolutely loved
Marvellous.
It.
Marvellous. We need to get you sat down with Gordon Dale, because Gordon Dale doesn't go to the football if he can get a ticket for it. You actually pay to take yourself and your son all the way to Germany for the games. Radio Clyde had to pay the Dazzler to go.
I'm not surprised. He doesn't pay for it, the big man. But
no,
it cost me a fortune to take my wee boy, but it was memories for a last a lifetime. And hopefully in the future years I can do it again.
That's why he's here. This is not done by accident. I thought, well, you know what, there's a Championship card. Scotland are playing. Brian plays in the Championship and loves Scotland. However, Scotland's defending is not to be loved here. And good job the 80 cap man Andy Robertson's back, because no one else was.
No,
that wasn't ideal.
No, not a bit of a shaky start inside 90 seconds. Szymanski with the first sight of goal. Robertson on the cover over from left back, out for a throw in the far side.
Yeah, not ideal, but Andy Robertson does the business anyway. I thought it was going to end up worse than that, and Scotland have got real defending to be done. Craig Gordon catches it comfortably. What about your teaser here? Can you name 9 non-Scots currently in the Premiership who've made their international debuts this year? Caelan Boyd-Munce of St Mirren did for Northern Ireland. Arne Ingles, of course. Topi Keskinen.
I might have 2 in 1 go. Okay. We had a small story in Saturday's paper. I'm sure you read it, Brian, about Zimbabwe 1, Kenya 1,
mm-hmm.
which sent Zimbabwe to the Africa Cup of Nations final in Morocco. The goal scorers were Tawanda Maswanisi of Motherwell mm-hmm. and Jonah Ayunga of St Mirren.
Brilliant. Super.
That's why he's the best.
Exactly. That was quite a wee quirk of that over the international break. I saw that myself, obviously, having kept an eye on the Maswanisi stuff. And you're right, Jonah Ayunga scored for Kenya. Right, three to get.
Are there any more from Northern Ireland?
No.
No, that's not helping me at all. Right, I'm just scoring them out as we go.
Much from the field.
Whoa, what about the wee Scotland attack?
Yeah, Ben Doak just slips it into McTominay, who has to come back the way. So it's the only 2.5 minutes in, but Scotland had been on the ropes a touch in the opening couple of minutes.
You'll notice the longer you're on this show, but I see quizzes and things.
Hold on. We're into the box. Cut back. John McGinn. And it's a goal for Scotland already. It's the main man from Friday night. The usual celebration. And John McGinn has put Scotland in front. 3 minutes on the clock. A brilliant goal. Cut back to the edge of the box. And it's the right foot again. Two in a row with the right foot. This one was a cleaner finish than Friday. Into the bottom corner. And that is the start we were looking for.
A 20th goal for Scotland. He moves ahead of Ali McCoist. It used to be Super Ali, now it's Super John McGinn. Only Dalglish, Law, Hughie Gallagher and Laurie Riley
incredible
are ahead of him. The way he's going, he's got time to catch Laurie Riley tonight.
Who is that pass from? Who is that? The first pass in
Gilmore
to Doak, cut back, edge of the box, stroked into the bottom corner. What a start from the Scots.
Quite glad the manager stuck with that lad again. And the lad Doak, you know.
Yeah, they've got a future, those two. Like, can't grumble with that. The Scotland bench scenes almost caught them unaware so early in the game. It's great to see John McGinn back scoring, Roger, because he was the man. He was the go-to man. Scott McTominay sort of stole his thunder a bit in the goal-scoring front.
He did, and it's a perfect start. It's not the start we're accustomed to getting with Scotland away from home in competitions like this, but hopefully now it will sap what was remaining of Polish confidence. That must have taken a battering when they lost 5 in Portugal on Friday night. There's been a little bit of a row over there. Some people not happy that some of the Polish players were posing for selfies with Cristiano Ronaldo after the game. Their Nations League campaign is not finished the way they hoped it would. So, come on, Scotland, let's go on and get the win I predicted a minute ago.
Brilliant from Ben Doak, obviously, and that's what we hoped he was in the team for. But the pass from Billy Gilmore, Brian, they're just...
It's intelligence. Obviously, Doak sees the space to start the run, but it's then Gilmore's awareness to play the pass. It's the weight of pass. He finds him, and then he cuts it back to McGinn, who strokes it in with his right foot.
However... There we go, it's okay. Ben Doak's back defending. Remember people said he couldn't do that? That's brilliant from Ben Doak, actually. If someone can find him, he might be in here. And it's just going to go through to the goalkeeper. That was a chance for Scotland to break. Already 1-0 up. It feels a bit daft really worrying about the teaser when we've got this game underway. But you can...
Absolutely. The point I was about to make to Brian was, the longer he's on the show, he'll find that all these quizzes and things that evolve around Motherwell. Two faddy questions in those 10 earlier on. We've now got Tawanda Maswanisi. What about his pal, Apostolos Stamatolopoulos?
Worth it for your pronunciation. Apostolos Stamatolopoulos.
You know something?
Made his Australia debut in June.
And it's a lot easier than shorthand. Apostolos Stamatolopoulos.
Write Apostolos Stamatolopoulos in shorthand for me. Educate me here. Seriously, like, what is that?
That's stealing shorthand.
Write it big on the back of a sheet and hold it up to that. We need to educate everybody out there. For those who don't know what shorthand is, write it underneath Brian's league table.
I'll do these two names.
Because, I mean, like, what is the correlation to the actual... I suppose it's like any kind of language, I guess.
Right, so that's Gordon Duncan and Brian Graham.
Gordon Duncan and Brian Graham in shorthand, according to Roger T-line Hanna.
Shorthand.
There you go. And remember, see if you're struggling to get to sleep tonight, just remember this segment of the show and it will send you nodding right over.
Good. This is one thing you won't get Gordon Dale doing.
You will not. That's not what he chooses to practice in his spare time, believe me. 6.5 gone. Happy with this. Poland 0, Scotland 1. It's a lovely goal from John McGinn. And it's quite open though, Brian. We've had a couple of moments where Scotland have had to scamper back. And
yeah, obviously start the game, Robertson gets in with a big block, but I think they've settled into the game. Obviously getting the goal breeds confidence, settles them down a bit. It looks as if we're stroking the ball about, everybody's wanting the ball, so it's a very positive start.
I've tried to teach my 3-year-old the John McGinn celebration at the weekend with mixed results, I have to say. Ben Doak does it again.
Oh, Dykes was on his heels there.
Yeah,
he should have read that. Big number 9 for Thistle would have scored there.
I was itching there. I was already gone.
I can see you nearly jumped over the table. But how good's this from Ben Doak? Step over, and to be fair to the Poland defender, he stays about as close as you can, but yeah, still Ben Doak gets away from him. This is a really positive start, this from Scotland. On the attack again. Two more on that teaser quickly before we disappear.
Is it a goalie?
Nope, one's a Rangers player though.
Ooh.
Andy Robertson's deep ball in, but it's cleared away. This is really front foot stuff, this from Scotland. Excellent out to McGinn now on this left hand side. There's another bottle. It's not the best from John McGinn. We'll let him off since he scored already.
Oh, Diamande.
Yep, Mohamed Diamande. Brian, a very much a supporting role for you in the teaser.
I'm just rubbing Rogers
Celtic
back.
Players?
No.
No Celtic players?
Well, apart from Engels, who you already got.
I was going to say Owen Beck, because it was start of last season, no.
Well, he's not currently in the Premiership.
Oh, not currently, yeah. Okay.
If I give you the club, I think you will get it. It is the Perth Saints.
Oh, the boy of France, Sidibe, Gambia.
Yes, the Gambia for Adama Sidibe, well done.
One to go, no?
No, is it? Oh, yeah, quick, Ross County, tough one this.
Oh, the Aussie boy.
This is an education, this from Roger.
Josh Hanna. Nisbet.
Josh Nisbet. Do you know how good you are? He's called John Nisbet on my bit of paper, but I know his name is Josh. So well done. Thank you, Brian
Graham. Well done, Roger.
Thank you, Roger Hanna. Well done, Scotland, for the start. 8.5 minutes gone. Poland 0, Scotland 1. Let's hope we can finish it off, and let's hope we get a wee turn from Portugal as well. Whatever happens, though, we look back on it tomorrow night with Stephen O'Donnell, 26 Scotland caps, so he's well placed to tell us his view on things alongside Gordon DL. Join us then and enjoy the rest of your Monday.